You're listening to Live Wild Radio, the part-time adventure podcast.
Join us as we explore how outdoor adventures build mind, body, and spirit.
Before we get to the show, we have a partner for this episode, and it's really convenient because today's episode is about kettlebells, and this is a place you can get your kettlebells. We're going to get you a deal. GreatLakesGearya.com, and for our American friends, US.GreatLakesGearya.com, and they make great quality kettlebells at great prices. The handles are awesome. If you ever used kettlebells before, you know how important that is. And if you go to checkout and use code LIVEWILD, you'll save 5%. And that's a big deal because right now a lot of places don't even have any kettlebells. These guys have them coming out their ears. They're happy to ship them to you. And in addition to the kettlebells, they've got all sorts of other fitness equipment, including barbells, dumbbells, weighted maces, all the fun stuff. So go to GreatLakesGearya.com, promo code LIVEWILD, and save yourself 5%. So everybody, let me paint a picture for you. You love to work out. And then along comes a virus and all gyms are closed. In our area, it was for 4 months. And then they're open for a little bit, but you can only have 10 people in them. And then they had to close for 2 months again. So in that case, you've got two options. Number one, get your COVID 50 on, or find a way to train at home. Now, you can follow a bunch of dumb YouTube videos where it's like, work out at home and, you know, get in the best shape of your life with nothing, which is, as somebody who's been, you know, a lifelong athlete, is bullshit. You know, because we'll talk later about burpees. Or, you know, obviously somebody could put in a, like, get a treadmill, get a rowing machine, get all these things. Our answer to it, though, is a combination of kettlebells and body weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, welcome to Live Wild Radio. You know, we are a podcast about incorporating adventure into your life and the transformative power of adventure. And one of the adventures we've been on in the last year has been sort of a new path of fitness. So all because I've got more experience with it, you know, I'll end up getting into some details. But Catherine, tell me, how have you found the last 3 or 4 months of training?
Pretty phenomenal. And I say that, not that I'm trying to give you a bigger head, because you already have a big head.
It's hard to buy hats for this melon.
But no, seriously, it's been amazing. And I've preferred it because the kind of training that we're doing is accomplishing, reaching better fitness, cardio, strength, not peak strength, but and not just functional, although functional strength is really important, but it's cleaned up a lot of my
imbalances,
right? And because we've incorporated a lot of movement in our exercises, you find those imbalances. And overall, it's been phenomenal. Like, I can now do push-ups properly, and I can do probably up to 10 or 12, if, you know, but I stick to, because I'm doing sets of, I usually stick to about 6, and I usually do 60 of them in a night, something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. 6 at a time. I can, what else can I do? Leg raises. I can never really do that, lying down without putting my hands under my butt. I can do them and feel I'm not walking away with shame.
and you're engaging your abs properly now.
Yeah, too. Yeah. And then finally, I'd say the other thing that I really like is definitely what makes me feel like a ninja is, in the past, because I think of my weak quads or glutes, and my knees were, you know, I have problems with my knees. I have osteoarthritis stage 4 in one and stage 2 in the other. But anyways, getting up from the floor and maybe just being too heavy or whatever, I had to, you know, have several points of contact, like all four, you know, my hands, my knees, just to get up, right? It wasn't pretty, like an old person. Since we, you know, and obviously when I've lost 40 pounds since 4 years ago, but it's been easier to get up. But more specifically now, I could just be lying down, you know, sit up, roll back a bit, get a little bit of momentum, and just hop up. And it's pretty amazing because I not use my hands. That's a big deal for me in my case with my injuries. But I sleep better.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because you're tired.
Yeah, because I had this problem of, you know, it didn't matter if I went to bed at 11, 10, or 2 in the morning. I'd still get up at 6 a.m. I couldn't get past that. And I don't know if this is a direct result of the working out, but I can sleep a lot longer now. Mm-hmm. So in this past year, especially, I've increased my hours of sleep from 6 to about 7.5 and more. No problem. So that's really cool. Not sure if that's exactly because of these workouts that we've been doing in the last 3 months, but definitely the body fat has melted away. You can see a lot of muscle. I have muscle I didn't know it could exist. I can actually feel my abs, my core. That's really new. Mm-hmm. Is really tight and hard and feel great.
Yeah. So let's take a step backwards, and I'm just going to explain for listeners who are unaware what a kettlebell is. You've probably seen them used before. It looks like a cast iron cannonball with a handle on it. They're originally from Russia. And it's funny, like when you get back into the history of them, before they were used as a strength implement, they were a weight that would go on a scale for weighing crops. That's what they were used for. And it is kind of hilarious, really, because you get anything big and heavy, then it turns into a competition between people who can lift the biggest one. So when kettlebells first came to North America, there was 3 weights. You know, that's sort of how they were classically used as far as, you know, weights. And then obviously they got used as a fitness implement in Russia. The military used them because it was easy, rather than have a whole gym and barbells and all that kind of thing. It was easy to throw a bunch of these cannonballs with a handle on it into the back of a truck when you're going out to do training, you know, or guys could carry them out onto the field. And so when they came to North America, you had 3 weights, and they were in POOD, P-O-O-D. and you had roughly like a 1 POOD, 1.5, and 2 POOD. And what that translates into is 16 kilograms, 24 kilograms, and 32 kilograms.
So what's that in pounds?
Roughly 35, 52, and 70. Like roughly 18 pounds apart. And when the jumps are so big, because unlike, like, say, a barbell where you can micro load, right, you can get plates as light as like 1/4 pound, mm-hmm. right? So you can go up in tiny, tiny increments. You know, typically a gym will have 2.5 pound plates as the small ones. But you can do these little steps up because the kettlebells aren't available that way, or they weren't. You had to own a weight before you were able to go up to the next one, right? It wasn't that you I can get 5 reps, so now I'll go to a heavier weight and start, you know, at 2 reps and work my way up, or, you know, whatever you might do with a barbell. You would run into the thing where you would start with something that was a challenge, maybe for 5 reps, and eventually you'd do 10 minutes straight with it. You know, whether, like, yeah. And then you went up to the next one and you started back over and you built, you know, you basically started with strength and translated that into strength endurance.
Right. And that was like me starting at, and apparently this is not recommended, but I already had some strength under my belt.
Yeah.
So I started with a 45 pound kettlebell.
Yeah.
And just to give people an idea, I think initially you wanted me to do 20 swings, for example, in one set.
Yep.
But I couldn't do that. So I did 15. I resisted. But that was probably, was it 10 sets to begin with?
Yeah, because we were just doing 10 minutes.
Yeah, so just to give people an idea. And then probably after 2 months, No, three really.
Yeah.
I graduated to, what is that, 53 pounds?
Yeah, 52.
Yeah. So it doesn't feel as hard as the 45 pound first did mm-hmm. when I did the, although I haven't done 15 reps yet. But anyways,
yes, it's.
Have I?
Yeah, that's what we just did the other day.
Oh, I don't remember. That's what I have to, okay, you got to write things down. Anyways, that gives you an idea of how, you know, long it took me, in my case, to own something and move forward.
Yeah, because we would do, like, week after week, we were doing 200 to 300 reps in a workout, like, of something like the kettlebell swing.
Yeah.
And so when you do that much volume, then when you go up in weight, you cut the reps down. So instead of doing sets of 10, we did... or sets of 20, we then cut it down to sets of 10. We only did 6 sets. So you went from, like, you know, in a workout, maybe doing, you know, 200 or 300 reps of an exercise down to doing 60. And then we start building again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, so with the kettlebell, there's sort of two types of movements. There's ballistic movements, which are explosive, fast movements that it's hard to do with any other implement, right?
Yeah.
Like something like a swing, whether it's a one-hand or two-handed swing, it's really hard to do that with a dumbbell. You definitely can't do it with a barbell because it'll knock your shins out from under you. You know, and there is Olympic weightlifting with barbells, right? That's explosive, but it doesn't allow you to do high repetitions without getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, whereas like I'm teaching your son who's like 7, right?
That's right.
Okay. Cause I thought he was 8 the other day and he's like, no, I'm almost going to be 8. but I'm teaching him how to do kettlebell swings. We've got mm-hmm. like a little 12 pound, you know, like baby kettlebell.
Quarter of his weight.
Yeah. And it's a thing where he's learning how to do that hip hinge pattern. Right. But we started with just learning how to engage with no weight, like get the position right. And then we did, you know, basically slow hip hinges, like a little deadlift or the goat bag swing where you're holding the weight into your belly and getting into that hinge at the hip forward position. But the back is flat. The hamstrings are engaged. The shins are vertical. And so we worked that a bunch with them for a bunch of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, doing sets of 2 or 3, maybe 5 swings. And then he has to put it down. Right. So that he can just focus on, because he seems to do 2 or 3 before he starts screwing up the form.
Yeah.
So we just keep working on it and working on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's one of those exercises that has a progression to get to. And then any of the ballistic exercises, the fast ones, right? And that would be swings and all their variations, cleans, which is basically they're all hip hinges. And a clean is just a swing that you don't let go out in front of you. You tame the arc and pull it up. So you catch the weight at your shoulder height. So then you can press it overhead
mm-hmm.
or do front squats or whatever you're going to do with it up there. And then there's the snatch, which is the same mechanics of a swing to start. But then again, you redirect the weight. And so what seems like one motion, but it actually breaks apart into 3, which the swing, the high pull, the punch, and you finish with the weight, you go from the bottom to the top in one movement.
By the way, just for reference, don't worry. We have in the show notes links to some really great articles Winston's written about barbells. Did I say barbells?
You did. There's nothing about barbells in this episode.
No.
Oh, well.
There's another episode.
Yeah.
But kettlebells for hikers, kettlebells for outdoor athletes,
yeah.
And where he goes through all the movements, he'll have some videos, but even some workouts. So just FYI, don't worry about trying to grasp this all now.
Yeah, but you run into the thing where, again, you've got an unusual shaped object. If you're holding it, like to press it overhead or anything like that, the weight isn't centered in your hand.
No.
Right? The weight is behind your hand.
And it's on an eight. You're holding it at its highest, on one of the ends of the handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting. As a new person doing this, I mean, you broke it. You had me break it down for a couple of sessions as well, or mm-hmm. it was part of our practice moves, you know, before we did a workout or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's bracing is definitely important. The only time I've never had a problem with kettlebell swings and not bracing well enough that I hurt myself. I did twice with doing a clean. I lied. No, the other time was I was transitioning. I was doing a goblet squat with the kettlebell, right? So that's where you're doing a squat and you hold the kettlebell, right? Like a goblet and you squat. But when I picked it up with one hand rather than throwing it in the air and then catching. Essentially, that's what you're doing, catching the handles. It's safer because you're doing it with both hands. So I put a bit of load on my back and I kind of had a bit of a spasm. Yeah. You know, I pulled a muscle or whatever. I could work it out. I worked it out really quickly within the next day or so. And I did it again last night.
Yeah.
But that was a clean. And I was just figuring out, you know, that it's like a kettlebell swing that you swing through, you know, your legs. You hike like a football. You start off in that position and then you swing through your legs. I wasn't doing that. And therefore, I don't brace. So there are some things to be aware of. That, for me, was more when I was doing the cleans or transitioning in my goblet squat. Yeah, so some fine details that are really important.
Yeah. And that's why it's good to start with like the regressions, right? Things like just a kettlebell deadlift. It's the exact same body mechanics of a swing, right? You're hinging at the hip and then you're standing up straight with full lockout, but you're not doing it super fast. So you can work on feeling both positions. You want to feel at the bottom, the hamstrings load up. And then when you stand up straight, you know, shoulder blades back, glutes are engaged. It's like you have a puppet master with you're like a marionette. So there's a line, a rope or a string pulling your head up straight. You're not having your head forward. You're not having your head back. Think of it like you want to finish the top of all movements, whether it's a swing, a deadlift, basically braced like you're in a plank. You're just in a vertical plank position.
Yeah.
Right? Because, and this is sort of one of the things I ran into demonstrating it to Hudson. Before I would let him sort of actually swing the bell in that lesson, I got him standing up straight, arms out like as if he was at the top of a swing. And then it's like, okay, what position are you in? Like if I rotated you 90 degrees, what position are you in? And it's like, what you're in is the push-up position, a plank push-up position, right? That's, you know, you're standing vertical, but the way you do a push-up, right, your lats engaged, right, your armpits closed, like you're trying to not drop a piece of paper caught in your armpit, your abs braced, your pelvis tucked, your glutes engaged, your quads engaged, everything is a unit.
Yeah.
That's the way you want to finish the top of any exercise, like whether it's a squat, a deadlift, a kettlebell swing, right? And you never completely relax the tension until the bell is on the floor.
Yeah, no, and that definitely, I experienced that. But again, it wasn't a big deal, and I was able to work it out. But you can avoid that. It may be a good reason why. Now, I said I started at 45 pounds. What is the recommended weight that women start at and men if you haven't picked up a kettlebell?
So if you've never picked up a kettlebell before, they recommend women start like kind of depending on sort of what your fitness background is, 8 to 12 kilograms, which is kind of like 20 to 25 pounds.
Okay.
And then men like a 16 kilogram. Yeah. And with any...
So 35 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
With any kettlebell exercises, it's not a bad idea to have sort of two weights, like a light and a heavier one, because the exercises, you know, you can do overhead, like pressing, snatches. They're more advanced exercise, but they end up overhead. A Turkish get-up, which is an exercise where you start lying flat on the floor, you press a kettlebell like you've just done a bench press, and now you go from lying flat on your back to standing. And this is one that you got to kind of see to understand. The arm stays straight the whole time with the weight overhead, right? So it'll be You know, you're starting with your body parallel to the floor, with your arm perpendicular to the floor. And when you finish, your body's perpendicular to the floor and your arm's still perpendicular to the floor.
Yeah. I, you know, just going back to like, this is why I love kettlebells so much. It really, you know, the movement, it's the movement patterns. I love that. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's an example of it. It's the balance. It's, you know, when you do, for example, body rows, it's always working the core. Any of your one-handed swings, mm-hmm. right? Again, you're working the core.
Because you're resisting rotation.
That's right. You're working out any imperfections. But with this whole routine, we don't just do kettlebells, right? Kettlebell swings or those workouts. We couple it with body weight movements, whether it be push-ups, pull-ups.
The body rows.
The body rows, either with a TRX or
gymnastics rings.
Yeah. I really am a big fan of rear-legged stepping lunges with weights. You can first start off with just body weight, but great for balance. But yeah, so the kettlebell, who was it that you, was it Dan John? He's always been, he's this well-known coach for like past 40 years, strength training coach. He, I guess, is, for many, many years, has always had the same philosophy of what you got to do is a hip hinge, a pull, a press, a squat. Those are the four, right? And a carry.
And a carry.
Yeah. So you can do that all with a kettlebell, okay? You can do, obviously, the press. So if you take a press and you do it one at a time, you're lifting it up.
You're pressing it overhead.
You got to press, right? So that is an interesting move because it's not just pressing. It's slightly rotating out and making sure that you're locking your arm in place. And you know, there's some injuries that could happen if you're not careful, right? But it's, and you're bracing.
Mm-hmm.
Bracing more than I would have ever braced with just a dumbbell.
Yeah, because the weight's balanced. Like a dumbbell, the weight's evenly balanced in your hand.
Yeah.
Whereas a kettlebell, it's not, right? So it engages more stabilizer muscles.
It takes more to do it.
And then, yeah. You know, we have like a pile of kettlebells now because,
oh my God.
You know, it's like a mating family that just keeps, it's like rabbits, only they're really heavy. One of the things we're running into, which is really cool, is most of your pressing movements, you're doing one arm at a time, right? Which then means the left side has to brace when you're pressing the right side and vice versa. Like you're having this cross loading going on.
You'll also notice imbalances. Like
yeah.
My left arm is stronger than my right arm, but my right arm, I broke my elbow
last year,
about 6, 7, 8 months ago, something like that. Although it's back to normal, it's clearly not. There's some limitations there, but so that's the press.
Yep.
The pull, you can do a bent over body row.
Yeah, well, it's just a row because the body row is what you'd pull. Is
sorry,
when you pull your body towards an object.
That's right. So you're just bent over and you're doing the kettlebell row.
Yeah, and if you have two of them, you can do alternating. You can, you know, the and again, but if you're doing just one row, a lot of stabilizers have to fire to keep your body from twisting.
Yeah.
Right. So, because you do your rows on, you know, I always, with everything, always start with your weak side. So, if you're weakest on the left, start, you know, your rows and your presses on your left side. That's what I do. And what you are is bent at the hip. It's basically the bottom of the deadlift or swing position. Your core's braced. Your glutes are tight. Your hamstrings, you feel them loaded up. And then from the floor, you pull the kettlebell up and back, pulling the handle towards your hip, almost like starting a lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
You don't rip it. It's just like, and then you really squeeze your shoulder blades back and you engage the lat and then you lower it back down and it trains pulling.
Yeah, no, that's a really good one. And then the goblet squat, that was probably, of course, I've done goblet squats with weights, like dumbbells, right? You can do that too. So a goblet squat's another one that I really like with the kettlebell. And when I first did it, I immediately noticed it wasn't my legs that were tiring out. It was my cardio.
Yeah, but the reason why your cardio tires out is that your core has to brace because you're front loading And like when you do a goblet squat with a dumbbell, you're getting your hands in under the weight, mm-hmm. right? So your elbows are in close, so the weight isn't very far away from you. Like the dumbbell's almost on you, right? Like I can do goblet squats with a dumbbell like that weighs 100 pounds.
Okay.
But if I do goblet squats with like a 62-pound kettlebell, because you the way that you hold it by the horns puts it away from you a little further,
mm-hmm.
now there's all this anterior core loading, right? So you're braced so hard just not to fall over that you can't breathe deep. But then anything that's using, you know, you're moving your whole body through space has a high oxygen demand, right? So it feels way more demanding than the load would dictate.
Yeah.
And even like today's workout, because we'll talk about what we're doing down the road, like our next training block, but I'm getting into doing some double kettlebell work. This is a deload week for us. Which is, you know, after you've trained hard for a number of weeks, it's a good idea to have a week that you reduce your overall training volume to let your body sort of recover.
By what, 50%? 40%? Don't have to get into theory, just numbers.
Yeah, well, we'll call it 50%. Because
short answer.
Yeah, because the problem with all coaching questions...
It depends.
Like, there's so many factors that go in, right? Like, it's a right. multivariate analysis.
Good enough.
So, yeah. Just cut your training load by half for a week.
Yeah.
You know, when you're starting to feel tired. You know, you can do it on a set schedule, like every fifth week or sixth week or whatever it is, or just when you're feeling tired, right? Like, not just tired one day, but like, oh, man, this is catching up to me.
Yeah.
So just today, I was doing, instead of a goblet squat, I was doing a double kettlebell front squat. So now instead of doing it with my 62-pound kettlebell, I was cleaning up to the shoulder and then doing front squats with two 52-pound kettlebells.
And then, of course, I asked, isn't this a deload week?
Yeah. But see, with the deload, you reduce your volume but not your intensity.
Yeah.
Right. So, in fact, I've increased.
You went up in intensity.
Yeah, but I'm doing way less sets, less reps.
Got it.
Right. So it just sort of gets me in practice with these weights that I'm going to be using next time around.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, that really got my
heart rate up.
Yeah.
It did.
And then, so the combination, right? So between kettlebells, and body weight movements, you know. There's nothing you can't hit.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into talking a little bit about how we structure our workouts, to basically train a bunch of things at once, very time effectively. But you know, we're running into the thing where if you get into push-ups, doing them properly, body rows, which is basically just pulling your body towards whatever suspension trainer.
Yeah.
We've got a TRX and we've got gymnastics rings. But it's a horizontal pull,
mm-hmm.
right? But the kettlebell row is a horizontal pull as well. And then we've got handles that attach to a doorway upstairs that we do chin-ups on.
Mm-hmm.
They're great because they will, it's two individual clamps, so we can just, and they're spring loaded, so you just pop them off, throw them in a bag, and when we're traveling,
no, they're great.
They'll go into a hotel room.
Well, essentially, everything that we're talking about right now, the kettlebells, resistance bands, TRX, and the chin-up handles,
yep,
chin-up handlebars, whatever you want to call them, you can take them anywhere. It's convenient. They're cost-effective, right? Those two things in particular matter a lot, especially if you took a look at, and we'll post some photos, where we work out. We literally work out in the front entrance of my apartment.
Yeah.
Sometimes we creep into the living room a little bit. Like one person will go there and do push-ups or
just
leg raises.
Just because we have a carpet on the floor.
Yeah. But otherwise, for the most part, we're in the front hallway. And you don't need a big space. So if I can do it in my small apartment, so, you know, like there's no excuses. May not be as pretty in my photographs, but the point is that it's real and we've gotten results.
Because that fundamental thing of when your training tool is just you,
mm-hmm.
and then like we have, what are we up to? Like 8 kettlebells now?
Like something like that, yeah.
Right? They're just in a little corner beside the TV.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to start spilling out. And
I know.
People are going to
start tripping.
You know. So we'll come up with a better source for them. But, but let's say you've got 2 kettlebells, you know, like I recommend. You know, like if you're a woman, I would probably go with, like, say, an 8 and a 16 kilo.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because... say for swings. Now you're stronger than the average woman because you've been training with me for years. But swinging a 16 is not very hard for you.
Yeah.
Right. You know, cause your main swinging kettlebell right now is a 52 pound one.
Right.
So if you have like an 8 and a 16, and for guys, I would say like a 16 and a 24. Right. So you have something you can do overhead, like upper body exercises. You can learn to do Turkish get ups. You can do rows, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got something heavy enough for swings, goblet squats, lunges, cleans, you know.
What do I use for press? The 8?
The 12 kilo.
The 12 kilo?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything upper body, right? More so the press. And again, you can use a dumbbell, right? You don't have to use. We're just letting you know what you can use. But mm-hmm. if you're limited on budget and you've got dumbbells, use your dumbbells, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trick is just getting an adequate load.
Yeah. If I had to prioritize based on my results, I'd say that get the appropriate weighted kettlebells for your lower body, like your swings, your squats, your carries. They're all good.
Yeah.
The press, I would just use a dumbbell if you had to pick and choose.
Well, but
except the Turkish get-ups, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's above like a press.
Yeah.
And
you could do a Turkish get-up with a dumbbell. It's just, it's not the same.
But exercise. I'll tell you, like, because, see, what I love about this whole workout is that even functionally speaking, like, as I've mentioned already, me getting off the floor, I had to use both my hands, you know. So doing the Turkish get up for me in the past wasn't fun for me. It was uncomfortable. It was hard.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
Because
right?
at one point you have just 2 points on them.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
1 foot, 1 hand. And
you've got a weight above you.
Yeah.
But even if you just had your arm up in the air, it's just awkward.
Yeah. Because when I taught you, you just held a shoe.
Right. I'm not talking about this year. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm... because we didn't start doing them until like 2.5 months into this workout.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying when you first started doing it, was with a shoe.
Yes, exactly. But in the past, when I've done it, was back at the gym. It was mm-hmm. really hard and it was awkward. So I would say that what I can't get over for me, what the fuck effect is how agile and how much my body acts as one unit. All those little muscles that were imbalanced, unreliable, they're weak,
mm-hmm.
they will come out. They will show themselves. You know, for example, you're doing a push-up and I didn't know that you want to put your feet together, right? That you want to engage your glutes, your butt, your core, like everything. So that when you do a push-up, you have maximum, it's almost like leverage of that. You're able to do it and do it as one unit. It's actually easier. But at the same time, if you're not used to that, and I wasn't, I felt like a really awkward sensation in my knee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like it didn't like it. It didn't hurt, but it was weird. And it was almost limiting. Like mm-hmm. I couldn't do it and hold that position. Eventually, it cleaned up.
Yeah.
So that's just one example. So the more that you do these things and you work through them, it just transitions into like just getting up off the floor like a ninja. Like I could never do that. Mm-hmm. So that for me was huge. And that's what I appreciate. And I also love, as I've said, the rear stepping lunges because it's balance. It's can you get down? It's glutes. It's your quads. My knees are weak. It's your ankles. Then you start to wear or you incorporate weight. doing that. I went up to 30 pounds, maybe 40, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Or you wear a weighted vest instead. And that's weird because the way it fits. And so the more that when you're a newbie doing all this, you'll have massive gains, right? It's a strength endurance workout. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about this. The workouts we do are every minute on the minute, but it's cardio as well.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the gym, anything over five
we always,
reps was cardio.
Yeah, because even though the things we do, the hiking, mountain biking, rock climbing, like those are, we've all along, those are our sort of pastimes, right, that we want to be good at. And I've been experienced with kettlebells since 2005, but...
it's taken you this long.
To do it... exclusively.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Well, I've done it different periods, right?
He's justified it.
No. But really what it comes into is that when we had access to a gym, I default back to my 12-year-old meathead, right? Because that's what I started with, right? Even though I know how to use all these other tools, there's just something satisfying about like a heavy deadlift, a heavy squat, heavy overhead presses. But I'm 50 now. And one of the greatest sort of side effects of this, you know, because it was kind of a forced experiment, right? Because we didn't have access to all that other stuff and we don't have room to stick a power rack in here.
No.
Right? So what we run into is that we're getting stronger, we're getting fitter. You know, yes, we're going to trade off a little bit of maximal strength. But what we do have, is not hurting. Like the joints don't get beaten up the same way. When we're doing these like high volume, like kettlebell and body weight workouts, I don't end up with like my back hurting from like having 300 pounds on my shoulders. Right.
Yeah. Your spinal erectors were always sore.
Yeah. And so,
right? Mine were as well. And then the kettlebell swings will also inherently work your glutes, strengthen your glutes, your lower back. So you remember for folks who've done deadlifts, actually, I did this in the gym. I had, it wasn't necessarily kettlebell swings, but I did a lot of work on my glutes. Mm-hmm. And when I went back to deadlifting, that lower back pain after doing a heavy deadlift or even just doing work was no longer there. I never had to like constantly be stretching in between reps, et cetera, or sets, right? But the kettlebell swing does that. Yeah. It cleans that up. So initially, you'll probably have that lower back pain because you're not used to it and you're building that strength, but it'll go away. And that's phenomenal. It, you know, it's when those, we would call them the pains from being getting old, you know, mm-hmm. are no longer there. It's all, I think it's just the flow of the movement. It hits everything.
Yeah. And so it kind of ties back to one of the things that I talk to people a lot about, right? Because that are we'll call over 40, for lack of a better way of mature athletes. But it stops just being about just performance, although that still matters. But it's also longevity and quality of life, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you run into is that like research has been done on this, that three of the biggest indicators of mortality are grip strength, balance, like being able to stand on one foot, and being able to get off the floor with the least amount of limbs on.
Yeah. And I'm actually, you know, I've seen this in elderly. So let's just break that down for a second because it's a real thing.
Yep.
You have an elderly person living at home. And typically, I think what goes often first or anyways is balance, right? Or, you know, they're always afraid of falling, right? Because if they fall and they may not heal as quickly, they don't get the proper physio, et cetera. Then there's, can they get up off the floor, right? If they're so used to lying around, not being mobile because of injuries, whatever, that becomes a really scary thing where they may not be able to stay home, mm-hmm. right? Grip strength. I've seen this, unfortunately, my mom, she's got severe osteo or rheumatoid arthritis. She only has the control of her thumb and her pointer finger in one hand. Others are crooked or they're numb. So you can imagine she doesn't always eat properly. Mm-hmm. She drinks and sugar and has toast, things that, you know, she can handle. She doesn't always cook good meals or yeah. wants to. It doesn't have the motivation because she's afraid of dropping something and slipping on it and falling. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can see how this all compounds, how it really is a big deal.
Yeah. Well, and what's great, like, I love the grip strength one because people just go, oh, so if I do grip, no. I have never met a person with a strong grip who the rest of their body wasn't strong.
Mm.
Right. So it's that kind of thing where, basically the type of training we do, you're hanging from the chin up bar handles, you're hanging from the gymnastics rings. That's going to strengthen your grip. You're doing swings, you know, carries, all of these different movements which strengthen your grip, but they don't just strengthen your grip. They strengthen your whole body. So that's why it ends up being this great analog for overall body strength, because, you know, almost never are there people with like massive forearms with nothing else attached to them. And then correspondingly, like balance is a trainable skill, right? Like if you look at yourself, your balance is way better.
Yeah, the one-legged, the rear-stepping.
Yeah, like the main thing we do
lunge
is rear-stepping lunges. And, you know, basically we'll do little variations. I get into doing some what I call, you know, like some of the kettlebell skill work in our warm-up, like rotational cleans, bottoms-up cleans and presses, and that's basically where you grip the handle so hard that the bottom of the kettlebell is pointing at the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
and pressing that up. That takes balance,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And tension and control. You know, anything that, like, say with kettlebell swings, if you do one arm swings, the hand switch.
Yeah.
Right? It's a changing of balance.
Yeah.
So all of these things will add up over time. Same thing when you do like weighted carries, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're doing anything where it's just one side.
Yeah, you swear by that.
Yeah. Because
it hits so many different parts of your body.
Yeah.
Like, which you wouldn't think. Can you break it down?
Okay. So when I refer to loaded carries, what I'm talking about is moving with weight, right? So, and that's where the kettlebells are great for this, because generally with loaded carries, you can do in a gym, you know, a lot of times they'll have like some AstroTurf you can do carries on or whatever, like in a good quality gym. But for us, it's going to be a case, we just go outside,
mm-hmm.
right? And think about, you know, you hear lots of like people refer to functional fitness, you know, well, what is more functional than being able to pick something up and move it? Because that's what a carry is, right? So the suitcase carry is literally walking with a weight in just one hand beside you.
And usually around, I don't know what, like at my strength was probably used to start around 45 pounds, 50 pounds.
Yeah, you know, so but you're stronger than most women.
Right. Would you still put me at that now?
Oh, I'd probably go more.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was doing before.
Yeah.
So probably now I'd be around 60.
Yeah.
About that.
But, yeah. And again, it's one of those things where then we can also do, so basically there's, say with a kettlebell, there's three main ways of doing a loaded carry.
Mm-hmm.
One is called a waiter's carry or server carry, we'll call it, because mm-hmm. that's, you know, not gendered. You press a kettlebell overhead, lock it out, mm-hmm. and now go walk,
mm-hmm.
right? The kettlebell wants to stay in place. Like, Newton had a lot of this physics shit figured out. So you have to brace your whole body so that it comes with you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, your body's going to move, your feet are going to move, and the kettlebell is going to go backwards, mm-hmm. which could be a bad scene for you. Then there's the rack carry, which you'd have it up basically at the base of a press, you know, or at the top of a clean. And then there's down at your side holding it like a suitcase, right? And if you have one in each hand, then it's a farmer's carry, right? And that right there is how you do your groceries in one trip.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So,
but you're, but I remember you were saying that you're working your ankles. Of course, you're bracing your core.
Yes. Like, you've done them before, like heavy farmer's carries.
Yeah, but I didn't realize the strength benefits it would be to your, to all the pieces, you know, all your, to your entire body.
Yeah. And it also helps fix people with bad posture. Because you can't like walk effectively, like move effectively.
That's right.
If you're slouching.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're having to sometimes move it so you don't hit it every time you walk.
And so your lats and your deltoids are engaged, keeping it out to the side.
Yeah. But you were saying something about your feet and your ankles.
Yeah. Because you have to move now with weight.
Very quickly.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and the thing is with training is do it slow. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and now the other thing is that, at any point, you know, there's a transition movement in a step where there's only one foot on the ground.
Yeah.
So now the balance component comes into it.
So I'm just going to throw in something that you've talked about in the past. Like, you're much more of a fan of free weights when you're training and working out with people than using machines. And just to explain how beneficial it really is. Obviously, we're talking about kettlebells and a range of tools that we have. But the reason why this is so much better is because you're working, especially when you're moving, you're having to control, right, to do the right form, and you're targeting, you're hitting a bunch of different muscles in between. But if you were to be on a machine, for example, and you get to a point where you max out on it, or you're super strong, now you get to transition to free weights because that's where you can move forward. You've never learned all the proper form. You've never worked all the muscles in between, you know, that help you control that movement pattern.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why, and
like, which can cause injury. So it really is. I now understand the benefit of body weight exercises, because you naturally clean up everything in between from start to that position. Like, it's everything. It's not just like you're sitting in a machine, right, where mm-hmm. it guides you the exact way to do it, and you don't hit everything else.
Yeah. Well, because whether it's barbells, dumbbells, kettlebells, sandbags, heavy medicine balls, any weight that you have to move through space under your own control, but as opposed to a machine, you can't start super heavy because whatever your weak link is, mm-hmm. that's what's going to stop you, right? Whereas with a machine, it's doing all the balance part for you. So you take something like a leg press. You know, our legs are good and strong. You can move a lot of weight that way. But then you put the equivalent weight on your shoulders for a barbell squat because you've built a lot of strength in your legs. So you need a fairly heavy weight to train your legs. And your whole body collapses like a house of cards because you don't have the column. Like, and I hate, everybody refers to the core, like the abs and all that, but it's everything, right? If your upper back muscles don't engage, mm-hmm. right? It, like all the postural muscles, if your spinal erectors are weak,
mm-hmm.
Because they're not for moving you, they're for holding you in place.
Mm-hmm.
If your obliques, like the sides, if your transverse abdominalis, which is not the showy six-pack muscles on the surface, but it's underneath everything. If that's not strong, you can't brace and support the weight. So anybody, whatever it is you're doing, I like both free weights in whatever form they come, because you have to learn to control them, and body weight movement, because what is more natural than moving, you know, your body through space?
Yeah, you got to do it anyway.
And now we're just talking about doing those movements under external load.
Yeah.
Right. So you actually learn how to work in the real world. You know, and I'm not one of these like anti-machine 100% people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There are places for them. Right. Whether it's shoring up a weakness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the things that I hate about a lot of the commercial gym industry is if they were just set up so it was all like free weights and kettlebells, and you got to have people know what they're doing. Whereas if you have a machine and it's got a little diagram on it, mm-hmm. you can sell people their membership. They can fudge their, you give them, you know, when they buy their membership, they get like some, you know, generic program. And it's like, oh, I do 3 sets of 10 on this machine, and I do 3 sets of 10 on this machine, and you just sort of work your way down the line.
They won't get the same results as they would doing free weights.
No, or having good program.
Yeah, but what I'm just blown away by, because everything we do is body weight or free weights, you know, using kettlebells and these kind of movements, is how that's transferred into my agility and doing all these little things that before I couldn't do, like get off the floor as quickly and easily without using my hands.
Well, it's the difference between training with some like vague bodybuilder idea, right? Like, okay, I'm working my pecs now. Okay, now I'm working my lats now. Okay, I'm going to work my quads now. Versus training like an athlete, where we're aiming to improve performance.
Mm-hmm.
The cosmetic side just takes care of itself, right? Because if your performance has improved, right? And by performance means you're able to move more weight, you're able to do more reps, you recover quicker between sets,
mm-hmm.
You're able to do more without undue fatigue,
mm-hmm.
With good form still, right? Because we're kind of, you know, the rule here is a set stops if the form breaks down.
That's right.
Right? You put it down, take a break. You know, whatever you got to do, mm-hmm. it's better to do fewer reps and have them be good.
Yeah.
Than get all sloppy just to get something done. Like, you don't race it, right? And so with that, you know, if the performance is improving, well, if part of the performance is, you know, activities that involve like a powerful hip extension, which is the hinge movement. So whether it's a swing, some form of deadlift, you know, anything that you're going from a bent at the hips, mild knee bend, you know, to standing straight up using your glutes and hamstrings. Well, you get better at that over time. You're also going to have a nicer ass, right? You get better at squatting and lunging. You're going to have better legs, better ass, better agility. You're mm-hmm. going to jump higher. Like kettlebell swings, because they're a quick explosive movement that builds a lot of both explosive power and endurance in the glutes and hamstrings, it's going to make you run better, right? And so I think that's sort of that mindset is don't train like you're a sculptor trying to make individual body.
Yeah.
You know, that it's a bunch of parts. Train the body as a unit.
Yeah. For movement.
And then you'll look like an athlete.
Yeah.
And most athletes, you know, that are any good look pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and it comes back to when you're hiking, are you hiking with 2 feet on the ground all the time?
Yeah. Almost.
Right? Never.
Almost never. Because you don't get very far.
Otherwise you're just standing around.
Or but, you're hopping.
Yeah, which is why, you know, those one-legged exercises are really good for you, mm-hmm. especially under load, right?
Yeah.
You know, same thing when you're, you know, rock climbing and you're having to hike in with 50 pounds on your bike to back, you're on the approach.
Yeah.
Could be 20 minutes, could be 10 minutes, could be an hour, a couple hours.
Yeah.
In the desert heat.
You know, we've done that before.
So you don't want to be fatigued and done by the time you get to the climb. Yeah. So I'm just really excited about it. Let's talk a bit about what our workouts, how you've built them, because you do every minute on the minute. I mean, if you want to just explain it, what it is, I'll tell you why I love it.
Okay, so one of the simplest things, like anybody who's worked out at all understands the typical thing of like, oh, do 3 sets of 10. Right? So you do a set of 10 of an exercise, you take a break. A lot of times it's indeterminate, you know, 60 to 90 seconds or something. Maybe they'll write down. And then, you know, you do your 3 sets and then you go on to your next thing. The way that I program to make it much more time efficient is we set a timer that beeps every minute, right? And so sometimes it'll be straight sets. which we've say, you know, we've done with different exercises. So we might have it for one exercise, set it to beep. And so you're doing 10 sets of an exercise in 10 minutes. So let's say it's a push-up. So just to make numbers simple, we'll say you're going to do 5 push-ups. So it beeps, you do your 5 push-ups, and whatever's left in the minute is your rest. And each minute, you know, so 5 isn't that hard. But then what happens is that there's this cumulative fatigue that comes. It's almost like you're doing mini intervals. Mm-hmm. Right, particularly when it's any full body or lower body exercises, because they have a much higher oxygen demand. You know, when we do that with 20 kettlebell swings, right, for 10 minutes, we've just, in addition to training the hamstrings and glutes and lower back and your grip because you're holding the kettlebell and your postural muscles because you got to stand up proud, you know, like you're at attention with that braced plank position at the top. You also run into the thing, 20 kettlebell swings takes about 30 seconds. So you're doing 30 second on, 30 second off for 10 minutes. You're doing 10 intervals in a row. Mm-hmm. Because what'll happen, like we train with a heart rate monitor on.
Yeah.
And it's like heart rate goes up.
Goes
and
up.
And recovers a little bit. And but they just steadily climb each one, because you're not getting full recovery. It's enough for you to do your next set. You end up with both getting stronger, but you also end up with a fabulous conditioning effect. And because like we've had workouts where I had it programmed that in 60 minutes, we did 60 sets, like 10 sets of 6 exercises.
Mm-hmm.
They're miserable towards the end, you know, because it's a lot of work. And I wouldn't recommend anybody start there, and I wouldn't do it all the time. Like that was sort of the peak load we worked up to. But the way that we used to train, you know, where it would be like, you know, say with barbell squats and deadlifts, in an hour long workout, we might get 20 sets in.
It would take forever.
Yeah.
It really would. Like the squats or the deadlifts would take like a half hour,
you know, but,
and then we only wanted to be there for an hour. So then it didn't leave very much, nor did we didn't hit the other body parts the way we do now.
Yeah. You know,
so we get we get cardio.
Because right. you're doing a lot of work in a shorter period of time.
Like it's almost like that carrot's there where it's like, oh, this is easy, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't understand how this is getting me results, but at the end you're like, okay, I'm tired. That was work, you know? And it's that whole what the fuck effect. After, you know, 3 weeks, you're like, wow, that's interesting, you know? And like, but you've hit everything.
Yeah. Because the way these movement patterns break down, right? Like our push-pull, hinge, squat, and carry. And we put lunge in, we stole that from Dr. John Russin, you know, to give credit where credit's due. You know, cause quite honestly, like I'm not inventing anything new. I'm taking, it's kind of like the way that people say about knowledge, like we're standing on the shoulders of giants, right? I take, you know, some movements from here, right? You know, whether it's like basically some of that early kettlebell stuff that I was exposed to in the early 2000s, with Pavel Tatsulin, you know, he's the Russian guy that brought kettlebells to North America. And then, you know, gymnastics ring work from like the calisthenics crews, the every minute on the minute. I think I got that from like seeing something with CrossFit, but they probably didn't invent it. You know, the movement patterns, right? I'm pretty sure I got the original from Dan John, and then we added the lunge with Dr. John Russin, who's a athletic trainer. So it's this thing of like taking this amalgam, of movements and skills and training approaches, putting it in the blender and then doing it in your front entrance way.
Yeah.
Effectively. Right. And that's the thing that I'm really enjoying with this, because it's, when you have everything open to you, right? Like, you know, and that's really what we had when the gyms were open.
Mm-hmm.
We belonged to two different gyms.
Yeah.
Like a rock climbing gym, which has weights and everything, and a commercial gym but it was pretty well equipped. It had monkey bars and medicine balls and prowler sleds and
had everything.
Yeah. So as a like a coach, I would run into the thing where basically we could do anything. Right? And this is actually kind of cool because it's limited what we could do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's almost one of those things. It's like, okay, I want you to paint something, but you can only use this color and only on this canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a lot of times I find when I have a limitation, I get more creative.
Yeah.
And that's sort of in a sense, you know, like necessity was the mother of invention with this. Right? It was like, okay, well, you know, like the first lockdown, I trained, but you had the kettlebell. Like you had one kettlebell at the time and I had none.
It was a paperweight.
Yeah. And I had none because I used to have a pile of them, but because I went to a commercial gym, I was never using them. So I sold them. and so I won't do that again. And then it was a thing. So like I had great progress in upper body movements because I had my gymnastics rings hung up in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing push-ups and dips and, you know, pull-ups and body rows and, you know, a variety of different core training.
Yeah.
But it was all body weight for the legs.
Yeah, I don't think I had much progress. I'm trying to remember if I did or not. I know I was still recovering. There's two things I was recovering from. My elbow
mm-hmm.
that I broke in June. So to even do a push-up.
Well, no, you didn't break your elbow. You broke your elbow after the first lockdown. Because that was in June. Remember the first
time? Oh, sorry. But I was doing... Okay, sorry. I was doing physio at home. And yeah, I don't remember what I was doing.
Yeah. I was.
It obviously wasn't memorable.
Yeah,
so didn't do much for me.
Yeah, whereas I was off work. So that's all I was doing.
Yeah.
Maybe
I was biking.
Yeah, we were riding.
I wasn't really into it. You know what the difference was? Is you were working out on your own at home.
Yeah.
And you gave me the workouts. And that's a big thing. I'm like...
lazy?
I just don't always have the discipline when it... Like, I that's partly why I like the gym. Is like, you go there, you're there, people are there, you're in the mood, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is that Winston comes over here. I buy all the stuff and then he comes over. He might be moving in.
Well,
that's what happens when you buy. No, we split it.
Yeah.
But it stays here because it's heavy, right?
Yeah.
But it's funny because you're in the workouts and you're like, man, this is so good because it's hurting. You're like, man, this is good. It hurts. You know, and I'm like,
well, it's not even hurting. It's
and I'm so enthusiastic and I'm like, I'm just here.
Yeah. It's like, I'm putting my time in.
I'm just, and you're like, you're the best workout partner. I'm like, I just show up.
Yeah.
Because you're here, right?
Well, it's because you're in your house.
Yeah.
One of the things too, though, that I like to get people to reframe, because I think there's too much in Western training, you know, North America, the Nike ads, CrossFit, all this like, go, 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 one more rep, you know, leave you in a pile of sweat on the floor.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Right? Yes. Basically, I know some, like in the kettlebell community, don't like the term workout. They call it practice. But I prefer to reframe the idea, right? Literally as work, because you would not go to a manual labor job and blow your wad on day one so you couldn't work the next day, right? You just put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, it's what was really hard, you know, if you hadn't been doing manual labor, after a few weeks isn't so bad, right? It's just work. Your body adapts to it, you know, but no one day killed you, right? You can't work for a whole day, and obviously our workouts aren't day long, but you can't, you know, dig in ditches, like max out, because you still got to finish digging ditches after lunch or carrying shingles up onto a roof or whatever the job is, right? So it's that whole thing of like, it should be work, but it shouldn't wipe you out.
Yeah, it's actually deceptive. I will say that because when I'm doing the work, I'm always thinking like, am I doing enough? like, but I'm fitter now, right? So it, what used to give me a really high heart rate doesn't anymore. But the thought crosses my mind, and you really need to write it down, because he's constantly, Winston's always reminding me, yeah, you didn't do that many push-ups last time, or yeah. you know you couldn't press that before, you know, you could never get that over your head. So what are you talking about, right? But it is deceptive. It seems so simple, and because it's maximum, really, I would say it's maximum results for minimal effort, which I love.
Yeah, and
there is effort. Don't get me wrong, but you don't need to like work yourself to the grave to get the
yeah, because results. It's counterproductive.
Yeah,
right. Like getting stronger, getting fitter. There's times that are going to be hard, right? But they're short periods. Right. Most of your training should be like when you're done, you go, man, I feel great. You know, you're not wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not massively sore.
Well, when you start to get that way, because there are a couple times like, man, like my legs, my quads, my calves, like they're really tired. And we realized, yep, this is, we need to deload. Yeah. We've been doing this for how many weeks?
Yeah, like 5 weeks straight.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore, you know, like.
Well, and that's one of the other parts too, is that I'm a big fan of building in like progressions. And they can be sort of done a couple of different ways. But one of the things we'll often do is we'll start with like 6 minutes per exercise. Right. If we do 6 exercises, then it's a 36-minute workout. Then, you know, might do that for a week. Then the next week we do 7. And then the next week we do 8. The next week we do 9.
Mm-hmm.
Usually by the time we get there, then it's like that's 5 weeks
mm-hmm.
and we're fried. You know, not fried, but you start to feel like a systemic and overall fatigue.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, we should dial it back, you know? And then what you've done is built up fatigue. And then when you back off, you know, for a week, and we just use weeks because it's easy to, you know, measure out. And so we'll do roughly the same number of workouts, but we cut the workload in half. You know, maybe we'll play with some new movements or, you know, have fun. Work on some skills. So you're still being active. Obviously, you're not going to burn as many calories in these workouts because mm-hmm. they're not as long. But you run into the thing where because we've reduced the workload, now that fatigue goes away. And all of a sudden, a few days, you know, or a week in of the recovery week or the deload week, you're like, I feel great. Right? Because now, mm-hmm. because the fatigue's gone away, now you're realizing that fitness you built.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're like chomping at the bit for the next one.
Yeah. And you will see, generally you see improvement. Like mm-hmm. if you could only do 10 push-ups, you can probably do 11 or 12 in a set and do them for in one set. Yeah. And you can do it for all your sets, right? Where mm-hmm. before you could only do 10 and you'd be like friggin' exhausted. So yeah, no, that's a cool what the fuck effect for sure.
Yeah.
Aside from working out, I do throw in, wherever possible, a couple of extra cardio workouts, like on my bike.
Yeah.
I'll spin in the morning, you know, at a heart rate between 135 and 150, something like that, for about, I started at 25 minutes a week, and then the next week was 30 minutes and 35. I just add, you know, walking, you know, you try and get your steps. And I'm really bad at this. I actually average, it's almost embarrassing. I'm trying to get to 10,000, but because I don't do the weighted vest walks in the morning, I should probably get back into it. But whereas you do like at least probably 15, you probably do about 15,000 steps on average, but sometimes you do 10 because of work. You're on your feet all day.
Yeah. Like I walk to work and then I'm on my feet all day at work.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm anywhere between 15 and 22,000 steps on a work day.
Yeah.
Which means sometimes it takes me half an hour to like stretch out and everything because my feet hurt and, you know, when we're going to work out after work. but, you know, shit happens. But back to actually a couple things with the training, because we talked about what the every minute on the minute is.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the ways we often do it, like if we're doing full body, is we'll take an upper body exercise and then a lower body exercise.
We alternate.
And we do those like pretty much in a circuit. And because we're just using our kettlebell and our body weight, you don't run into the thing of having to change weights on a barbell or anything in between. Right. So like, to give you an example, like we might pick four exercises just to keep it simple. And this works most of the body. So we'll do a push-up, a kettlebell swing, a body row, which is using like a suspension trainer to pull your body in. So instead of rowing the kettlebell to you, you're rowing your body. We put attach that to the door frame.
Yep.
Then a goblet squat or a rear stepping lunge.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe ab roll out. Well, actually, no, that's four exercises, right? And then you basically just start the timer and it's just you work your way through them. And when you've done all four, you go back to the beginning.
Yeah,
the
we always alternate. Whatever we do one after the other, we try and alternate something upper body with lower body or, you know, so that you're not fatiguing the same parts of the body.
Yeah,
twice.
And because the lower
body... the upper body is used similarly to another exercise. Yeah.
And because the lower body exercises get you more gassed or more out of breath, right? They have more energy demand. By alternating, you're running into the thing, like doing a set of push-ups isn't going to get me gasping for breath.
Right.
Whereas doing a heavy set of kettlebell swings, you know, will. So by alternating, you're giving your cardio a little bit more of a break.
Yeah.
Especially when you're doing those longer cycles. And, you know, we'll run into the thing where we'll do, you know, usually in any given workout, like sometimes not every movement is hit every workout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we rotate around, but there's usually a hinge and a squat. So that sort of does the back of the body and the front of the legs and all bunch of other support muscles are engaged. And then if we do like pull-ups, we'll usually do maybe an overhead press or sometimes we'll do push-ups. When we do body rows, then... You know, it might be overhead press because there's vertical pressing and pulling, and then there's horizontal pulling and pressing. So we try to balance those out each week. And, you know, we'll get some lunging in there because lunging, you could either think of that as its own movement, right? Of like one-legged, or it's just a squat variation. You know, I'm sort of up in the air about that. And then when we're able to get outside, we'll do like more loaded carries
because we can't do them inside.
Yeah. Like you can do standing in place marching, which has some benefits.
Yeah.
You're just not getting the locomotion in there. And yeah, so it's that kind of thing. It's like if your workouts have each of those components in it, and there's sometimes like auxiliary things like face pulls with a band, right? Just for shoulder health. We build those into our warm up.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And presses. We'll throw that in.
Yeah. You know, but it's one of those things where most of the movement patterns, because face pulls are just a different pull, a horizontal pull, just from a different angle. You know, we run into the thing where then the whole body's getting hit. You're doing a lot of work in a set amount of time. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of calories burned. So it's a great way to lose body fat. Great for conditioning, right? Especially over time as you build up the workload. And if you're doing it with resistance, you know, because obviously within sets, like what you do in a minute, you can either go every couple of weeks, add a rep to each set. And then sometimes add an extra minute. So you're doing an extra set of everything. You know, like there's various ways that you can grow it.
Yeah.
And you'll run into the thing where if you just sort of are diligent and steady, right? And just consistent.
Yeah. And so to give you an idea, so right now we're doing 3 days a week, generally every other day or sometimes back to back of strength. And then an additional 1 day a week. So 4 days in total. So an additional 1 day of conditioning.
Yeah. And with that, we just do the humane burpee, which is another one of Dan John's creations. See, I steal from the best. And basically, everybody's probably familiar with the burpee. You start standing. You jump down into push-up position, like bend down, put your hands on the ground, jump back to push-up position, do a push-up, jump your feet back forward, and jump up in the air. That's one rep. Great for getting your heart rate up. Terrible for your knees and your lower back. So that's where Dan John created the humane burpee. So you do 15 kettlebell swings, and there's variations of it, but the way that we do it, 15 kettlebell swings, 5 goblet squats. So then you pop the kettlebell up and do 5 goblet squats, then put the kettlebell down on the ground, walk yourself out, into push-up position, do 5 push-ups, then do another 15 swings, and now it's 4 and 4 of the goblet squat and push-up. Then another 15 swings, and then 3 and 3, 2 and 2, 1 and 1, and that you do that all in a row without stopping, and that's one round. It takes about 4 minutes, right? But you've just done 75 kettlebell swings, which is going to get your heart rate up.
Mm-hmm.
15 goblet squats, 15 push-ups, and then we'll rest a couple minutes, you know, active movement around. And then we'll do like 3 rounds of that.
Is that all we do for conditioning on the humane burpee?
Yeah.
I forgot.
We've done different conditioning workouts. You know, Tabata kettlebell swings and,
this
you know,
is more lately. Yeah.
You know, but I like it cause it's super, effective.
Get a lot of work in there.
A lot of work. You get more practice in, you know, squatting and push-ups, you know, so practice is always good, but it also makes you work. And there's definitely something to be said about taking your body from vertical to horizontal to back to vertical again,
mm-hmm.
But in a safe way, right?
Absolutely.
You know.
I think, just the last thing to note, we're going to put in the show notes. We've got a couple great articles that Winston's mm-hmm. written. One's on kettlebells for hikers, kettlebell workouts.
Yeah.
They're the ones kettlebell workouts or training for outdoor adventures.
Yeah, 9 reasons why it's optimal for outdoor athletes.
Yeah.
And I'll get more down the road.
But basically, you've got the workouts in there.
Yeah.
And then you've got videos on how to do things right. Yeah, so that's very helpful. Linking to some
really good coaches, like their YouTube videos on instruction. Like I want to make this stuff as much of a resource because it's still pandemic time, right?
Yeah.
People are having to, you can't go find a kettlebell coach who can coach you in person, right?
Yeah.
So basically, you know, having good instructional videos from good coaches can help. And then, you know, it's one of those things. Like if you just have the fundamentals, you learn the two-handed swing, you learn how to do a push-up properly, some pulling, so body rows, pull-ups, learn how to do them properly. Then goblet squat and rear stepping lunge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you want to just be evil to yourself, get one of the cheap ab rollers and do ab rollouts. You're going to run into the thing where you just do those movements regularly, you know, with a bit of a plan. You're going to get in better shape. You're going to lose body fat. You're going to get stronger. And you'll look better in your underpants.
There you go.
Right? So finally.
Wait. So we've been talking about kettlebells the whole time along.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously this is what we love, that we had to go find a partner.
Yeah.
So we found a partner. It's where we get our kettlebells from. And they're fantastic. GreatLakesGearia.com.
Do you know what Gearia means?
Kettlebell in Russian.
Yeah, you remembered.
I was listening.
Yeah.
And anyways, so we have them available to you at a discount. We'll give you, if you put in the coupon code
LIVEWILD in
all in caps, then you can get, what is it, 5%?
5% discount.
Yeah.
And so this is,
why do you like them?
Okay. So basically the shapes are great. Because kettlebells kind of generally look the same.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get into the distinction between like a Russian hard style kettlebell and a competition kettlebell. They generally look the same from a distance, but there's sort of two big things, sort of the space of the handle, right? Because especially any movements where you have to rack the weight, so the kettlebell itself is resting on your forearm, the space of the handle and the shape and proportions of the bell have a big bearing on comfort. So that's number one. Like their molds are very consistent, right? So whether I clean the 28 kilo up to my shoulder, the 24, the 20, like they feel great, right? They move in the hand well. The electroplated coating that they put on them is grippy without being rough on the skin. And then their molds are great. Like they don't have any weird seams. You know, I've used like a lot of different kettlebells, like the old school Dragon Door ones. Anybody's been around for a while, Dragon Door is the company that brought kettlebells to North America for sale for the first time, I think. The Rogue kettlebells, and the Rogue are good ones. I just find their powder coat, it's a hair on the rough side. So if you're doing, for a swing, it's not a problem, but for high rep snatches and things, it can tear your hands up a little bit. So just great quality, very consistent. And they're like the kettlebell that you'd had, which you got from Fitness Depot, then,
the Northern Lights.
Yeah. Like the handle is rough and like you can feel molding seams.
Right. Which is a problem if you're doing high reps, which I will be doing in my next cycle.
So yes, the not only do they have kettlebells in all different sizes from like, I think like 4 kilos, which is even lighter than, because we got the 6 kilo for the kids, up to a 206-pound kettlebell. Like, let that sink in. That's ridiculous.
I don't even weigh that much anymore.
You know.
You can just carry me.
You know, just put a handle on you.
Yeah.
And then they've got like in-between sizes.
Oh, my God.
You know, so my big thing is like, get them in at like 4 kilo increments, right? Mm-hmm. So then you have to like master weight before you move up.
Yeah.
That's sort of the sort of old school way to train with them. But they've got kettlebells, barbells, like everything you need to make a good gym. They got maces, Indian clubs or steel clubs, medicine balls.
You'll want to get, if you get into snatches and cleans, you'll want to get a kettlebell wrist guards. Yeah. What did you say the industry says about people with wrist guards?
Like the sissy guards?
Anyway, trust me, you want it.
So really good quality. Like we started off early on that we were only going to ever get products on the show, you know, that we partner with that we actually believe in. Which is what took us so long to actually get anything, you know, it's over 2 years of episodes before we found something we actually believed in. And you know, that we'd be happy to put our name behind. Yeah. So greatlakesgearya.com for here in Canada and us.greatlakesgearya.com for our American listeners. The promo code LIVEWILD works at both sites. Basically, everything you need to build a fabulous body. Because if you've got kettlebells and a chin-up bar, and they do a freestanding one or a wall-mounted, and a set of gymnastics rings, you can look as good as you want to look and be as strong as you want to be.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, get swinging.
Okay, so now let's talk about, before we finish, our next block of training. What are you doing?
So Winston told me, was it Dan John that came up with it? Yeah, the 10,000 kettlebell swing
challenge
in 1 month. So basically, do you have to do it over 20 days? Is that the idea? Well that's in a month. That's what. Well, some people can do it however you want, but it's recommended to do it.
Yeah, the original challenge was 10,000 swings in 28 days in 20 workouts.
Yeah, okay. So basically, it works out to 5 days a week. So if you want to do like
500 swings, a workout.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very much a mental challenge. And from what I've heard, You'll probably have raw hands, but this is why the kettlebells that we've got matter, that don't have the seams and that just feel good. Mm-hmm. But it's very much a mental challenge. And the way you've got it set up for me is an every minute on the minute workout, where every minute I do 20 bell kettlebell swings. I do 4 sets in a row of kettlebell swings. On my 5th set, I do something else. Push-ups, body rows, whatever, on the minute. And then I go back to another 4 sets. And then the next, after the next 4 sets, you go to a regular set of something else. So that's the idea until you get to your 500 sets. So it works out to how many minutes?
31 minutes.
So totally doable. I don't know. It just sounded crazy that I wanted to do it. I said, why not? I can do it.
And one of the things you'll run into it is there definitely is the mental aspect, because it can get a little monotonous.
Yeah.
But you end up obviously very good at swings, right? Your mechanics dial in. You turn into like a metronome. Because we're putting a push and a pull in there, so you'll be doing a push 2 days a week, a pull 2 days a week, upper body, and you'll be doing ab rollouts 1 day a week. Your core ends up tight as shit. Your posture improves. It's a great way to dump body fat and improve fitness.
Yeah, you know, said that people have lost between 10 and 20 pounds doing this?
Yeah, like depending on how much they have to lose.
Yeah, assuming that you eat well.
Yeah.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah. Okay. You know, so that's what I programmed. It's basically my take on Dan John's original program, because I've not seen anybody do it as an every minute on the minute.
Yeah.
But because you're so used to that.
And it works.
That just, process.
Just stick to it.
It's just like, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, other exercise.
Yeah. So I'm going to dial it down on the weight. I'll start off with 35 pounds just because I haven't done it before. 500 in a day in a session in 31 minutes. But I'll probably move up to 45 pounds.
Yeah. And then who knows? Yeah. Maybe I'll be up to the 53.
But I like to pace, you know.
And so what I'm doing is, again, stealing from Dan John. It's funny that it works out this way. He's got a workout or a complex that he calls the armor building complex. So it's double kettlebell exercise. And a complex is basically just where you have like multiple exercises just done back to back without putting the weight down. So with this, you do 2 kettlebell cleans, like double kettlebell cleans, 2, 1. So it's 2, 1, 3. So 2 cleans with the 2 kettlebells, 1 overhead press, you know, or military press, and then 3 front squats.
With how many pounds?
I'm going to be doing it with like a pair of 24 kilos, so like 52 pounds times 2, 104 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the every minute on the minute.
How many? That's just the one. Yeah, got it.
Okay. So with that one, I'm going to do, I've got, in the first week, I'm doing it 2 out of the 3 days, with the first day, just 10 minutes of it. Then the third workout of that week will be 15 minutes of it. And then the following week, if we were doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll just be on the Wednesday. I'll only do it once the following week.
Mm, we're going to do the other 2 days.
It's not just a 10-minute workout. I'm going to get my pull-ups and push-ups.
Before or after you've done this?
After.
Okay.
So I want to work on my pull-ups still. And I've got push-ups and some ab rollouts. And I'll do that as an every minute on the minute.
Holy shit.
Right? Then...
I think that's scarier than what I'm doing.
Then the in-between workout, right? Because if this was like Monday and Friday, the in-between workout, I'm doing kettlebell snatches, like one-arm kettlebell snatches. Some more press work. I'm going to do like half kneeling presses. So you get the kettlebell up to your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then you basically go into a rear lunge position so that one knee's down on the floor.
Yeah.
And now you've got a brace when you press, right? You're not just standing where you can move around as much. Just to work on the shoulder power and a bit of core work. Doing some farmer's carries or suitcase carries, but just marching in place to prepare for the outdoor shit we're going to be doing later on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of got some mix. So it's basically armor building day with some accessory work, you know, which is the double kettlebell work. And then the other day is built around the kettlebell snatch. Right. So the 2 days will alternate back and forth.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up with you after.
You know,
it's like I'm a bit jealous of what you're going to do.
You know, but hey, like when I told you about the 10,000 swing challenge, you got all excited. You wanted to quit doing what we were already doing and start. So,
well, hey, you know, it sounded like a good.
Yeah, it's a good program. I've done it before.
I can, you know, totally do it.
Yeah. Like it's one of those things where you end up like your grip, because you're just doing so much work. Your grip gets a lot of work.
Yeah.
Your ass and hamstrings and lower back and everything are just a machine.
Yeah.
All the upper back muscles that are part of the posture are.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no way around it. If you're doing 500 swings a day.
Yeah.
Your cardio's not going to suck.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
It's almost like we should have some kind of a challenge after to see who got the most benefit that they can improve on something. You know.
Yeah. You know,
to see whose workout was better.
Well, but see, that's the thing.
But we're doing different things.
Yeah, like mine is like, you know, especially any double kettlebell work.
Yeah,
is super heavy.
Yeah,
right. You know, so they each have a different place.
Right.
Plus, you know, it's one of those things. Like you're relatively new to kettlebells.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, so anything like double, you're just learning how to do like a one arm clean still.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that.
You know, so it gets more complicated when you're doing two. Got and, it. You know, all these things. So it's baby steps. You'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and if anybody's got like questions about any of this stuff, you can hit us up on Facebook, Instagram. We'll put some posts on there about it, obviously.
Go to our website.
Yeah. Livewildradio.com. Like my
that was cheesy.
My FM radio voice.
Please don't do that.
Come on, baby.
Oh God.
Yeah, because it's one of these things. Like, I'm really enjoying our training.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because the progress is there, which we always want.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel great.
Yeah.
Right. It's one thing, you know,
it's true.
When I'm lifting heavy barbells, I'm strong as shit and kind of feel beaten up a lot.
It's true. You really do.
You know.
I feel like that with yoga too.
Beaten up?
Spinal erectors. They were always sore. Same feeling. Really weird. Yeah.
Whereas with this
it's true. Yeah. Like my back, I'm like, I've done so many stretches, and it wasn't just stretching yoga. Yeah. It was like power yoga, but it was both, and you'd think, no.
No, but you're not. The thing is that, yeah. It's just
movement.
It's movement against load.
Anyway, we got to go.
Yeah. So anybody, you know, feel free to let us know how your workouts are going. And until next time,
I'm Catherine.
I'm Winston. Work hard.
Play dirty and share this. Bye.